In Baghdad, suicide bombings are as common as they are tragic. But this week brought news of one especially horrible, an attack on a group gathered around a U.S. soldier reportedly handing out candy and toys. 27 people were killed, most of them children. 2 days later, coordinated car bombs killed some 26 Iraqis. Al-Qaeda in Iraq took credit for those bombings, at least some of them, but made a point of denying responsibility for Wednesday's attack. It was another reminder that the Hydra-headed monster referred to so often in the press as the insurgency is actually a disparate group of factions, each with its own goals and strategies. And with nobody officially speaking for the insurgents, we can't be certain who did what for what reason. But that may soon change, at least a little. On July 3rd, two Iraqi militant groups announced that they had appointed an official spokesman, Ibrahim Yusuf al-Shamari. The Islamic Army of Iraq and the Army of the Mujahideen said Shamari would speak for them. Baghdad correspondent Steve Negus covered the story for the Financial Times. He says there are a couple of reasons why the announcement came when it did.
The first is that some Sunni politicians had made statements saying they were putting forward demands that the insurgents thought were important, demands such as restoring the former army or reversing the de-Ba'athification. Even though these Sunni politicians weren't claiming to speak in the name of the insurgents, they were using the insurgency as something of a lever to get attention for the agenda they were claiming to front. Presumably, one of the reasons Shamari is named is so that the insurgency could have a bit of control over the message that was going out. One of the other reasons is that the statement was preceded by reports in the press that there had been meetings between U.S. officials and the insurgents. One of the first things that Shamari said when he was named as spokesman is that there have been no meetings between the United States and between the insurgency. I would imagine that no branch of a very divided insurgency wants to be perceived as though it was speaking behind the back of the others and trying to cut private deals with the Americans. So that might also be one of the factors why this happened at this time.
What has he said? Has he offered any specific demands or clarified an agenda?
No, he has not clarified an agenda. However, he has said that he would welcome an official above-ground initiative from the U.S. Congress towards negotiations with the insurgents. The Americans are rather firm on the point that they do not speak to the insurgents because they don't want to undercut the standing of the Iraqi government. This almost seems like it might even be to sort of a ploy to sort of lure out official recognition of the insurgents from the Americans to make the Iraqi government look weak and illegitimate.
Has the Iraqi government had anything to say about Shamari himself?
Well, the spokesman said, you know, it would be nice to know who speaks for these guys. This government really doesn't know who's who in the Sunni areas, and the impression we have is they're really trying to figure out who they can speak to. So I think in some ways, having a spokesman would be good from their perspective.
Shamari is supposedly representing just two groups, the Islamic Army of Iraq and the Army of the Mujahideen. Who are these guys?
Well, they are thought to be dominated by former members of the Ba'ath Party and former military officers. As often happens, these Ba'athist groups sort of take Islamic-sounding names. I mean, all the different groups sort of know each other, but the groups are individually quite diverse, and then panoply of all of them is also diverse. Presumably, this will encourage some of the other groups to put forward their spokesmen.
Up until now, Steve, how problematic has it been for you as a Baghdad correspondent not to have an official spokesperson to turn to? What have you done to get the insurgents' perspective?
There's very little you can do. I mean, what you're doing is you're going through intermediaries. You meet people who claim that they have insurgent contacts, for example, a tribal leader from an area where the insurgency is strong, or a religious leader, and he will say this is what they stand for. But, you know, that goes through a filter or two, and it's not the most reliable source of information.
So does the creation of a spokesperson like Shamari make your life a little easier?
Well, if it comes to a stage where I can contact him, you know, regularly, it would. But he hasn't made that many statements yet. He's had a couple of conversations with Al Jazeera. So he's not exactly very high profile just yet.
Would it be too much of a leap to suggest that the creation of Shamari's position might be a first step towards a permanent presence in the political arena by these groups? I'm thinking of parallels between what's happening now with the insurgency in Iraq and the history of groups like Sinn Féin or the PLO.
Yeah, that's the hope. But there are tremendous practical and logistical difficulties with actually setting it up. Like, you know, having a host country which can do that without being accused of supporting terrorism, you know, of the insurgents themselves feeling secure enough that they can reveal a few names. Particularly in Iraq, you know, if the government doesn't jail you, somebody whose family was killed by the insurgents might. And I think, you know, the security risk is a very big reason why the insurgents haven't gone public until now.
Is that the sound of prayer?
We're about to get the call to prayer.
Yeah. I was just wondering whether or not this appointment of this spokesman seems as an important event to you as it seemed to us here on the show. Suddenly a public face, someone to talk to, someone to hear from, the beginning of perhaps a negotiated future for Iraq.
Yeah, it was a breakthrough. It was a first of its kind event. The important thing is, you know, whether or not the insurgents can build on that. If they can make a spokesman who is accessible, you know, who can make substantive statements, who doesn't have to worry about, you know, getting killed if he says the wrong thing, and ultimately whether or not they can develop a single person into a political front. It is a first step to all those things, but we're still a ways away from having the real political institution which can pursue negotiated solutions.
Steve, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Steve Negus is based in Baghdad for the Financial Times, but this week we caught him on the phone in Cairo.